My name's Travis Sims, and I am the founder and CEO of AGC Accelerated Global Connections. And this is the AGC Experience.
Our lives are a series of choices. Each choice leads to a result. Would you like to easily know which choices are the right life choices for you? If you've never met Amy Tyson, owner of Infinity Life Design, make it a priority to connect with her. Amy is a master of feng shui and bazi, which she calls destiny analysis. She assists her clients in understanding the hidden forces that are influencing their lives. A destiny reading with Amy is like reading a book all about you. She highlights which decisions will bring you to your fullest potential and which choices will lead you down a path of obstacles. If you're struggling with a challenge or you want to lift your life even higher, get connected with Amy and Infinity Life Design on facebook.com/infinitylifedesign or subscribe to her online newsletter at infinitylifedesign.com and connect with your infinite life.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you would give our speaker today a huge virtual round of applause, Dr. Bill Sullivan.
Thank you very much, Travis. It is a pleasure to be here today. I am coming to you, by the way, from Ventura, California, which is located, in case you don't know, between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara. And I actually am from the city of Pasadena, California, the home of the Rose Bowl. And I actually played high school football in the Rose Bowl. So that tells you a little bit about myself. And one of the things I'm going to be talking about today is how we connect with people. And one of the ways you connect with people is learning about them. And I will be happy to meet you after I talk and field your questions as time goes on. I want to start out with the story, my story of networking, how I got into it. Back in the early 80s, I was working as a salesman for a transportation company, a moving company, and my sales manager said to me, "Bill, in order to get business, you have to network." And I looked at him kind of puzzled and I said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "Well, what you do is you find people in related fields like commercial real estate brokers and people who sell phone systems and architects, and you get together and you exchange leads." Well, I found out that was a lead exchange. That really wasn't networking. And it wasn't until later when one of the commercial brokers I had met told me about some networking groups that did some serious networking. So I tried to join one of those networking groups. And I, being as a mover, they rejected me. They said, "You're a vendor, you're a mover, you're not qualified for our group." So one of my first encounters with networking was rejection. But I had some people I knew that I had built relationships with, and they said, "You should be in that group." So the leader of one of those groups, Rob Klein, met me, liked me, and said, "You should be in our group. It's not the profession, it's the person that matters." So I did join the group, and fast forward 20 years later, I am now leading two networking groups. I was the president of a UCLA alumni networking group. And as Travis suggested, I've just completed my third book on networking. So I went from being rejected to being an expert, and it all happened in due time. So I want to go into a definition of networking. And it's important to consider all of the elements of the definition. The definition of networking is building mutually beneficial relationships over time. So there's a lot in that definition. It's networking is about building relationships. And Travis alluded to the fact that we had talked. The way I met Travis really is I was writing my most recent book, and I had my son do research on other books, and we found Travis's book. So I contacted Travis, and he was very gracious, and we had a conversation. I bought his book and gave him a review on Amazon. And from that, he told me that I could speak here, and I'm very glad to be here. So building mutually beneficial relationships means it's not just about getting introductions and referrals, but it's about giving. So even though I got into networking to get business, I learned over time that it was really giving that was the more important component of networking, and that it doesn't happen overnight. I remember going to networking groups and mixers in the early days, and I would wear my suit, and I would have all of my business cards in my left pocket. And my goal at the end of the evening was to empty the left pocket and give out all of those cards and receive cards and put them in the right-hand pocket. Well, that's not networking. That's collecting business cards, and that's not building relationships. So it really is about building relationships over a period of time. I want to now turn to the basic paradigm of networking, which is a five-point paradigm, and it is know, like, connect, trust, and refer or introduce. So you've got to know people, and you've got to not only know them, but you've got to know what they do. And that all happens in an introduction or elevator speech. The clearer and more dynamic your elevator speech is, the more that people are going to know you. The second part of that paradigm is like, and likability is really many components to it. But the main components are that you're a good listener and that you're a positive person. There are other things, but that's really the most important. And that you connect with people, you find something in common with them. And some people communicate the same with everybody. And in order to connect with a wide variety of people, you've got to be versatile in your communication, in your connection. The trust part gets to knowing that someone will do a good job. You say, I will refer you, but I want to make sure you're going to do a good job and make me look good. And there's a couple ways that you can build trust. One is you hear that someone does a good job at whatever they do, whether it be selling insurance or practicing law. The other way is when someone volunteers to be on a committee or to become involved in an organization. And when you do that, when you volunteer, it's very important to do a good job because that's a work sample. So if you know, like, connect, trust, then you make the referrals and the introductions, and that's how the networking process really works. The thing that I've noticed in the past year when we really haven't been able to meet in person is that everybody has a channel of communication that they prefer. Some people like talking on the phone, and that's the channel. When they say they call you, they leave you a message, they say, please call me back. That's what they mean. They don't mean, please text me back. Some people text you, and that's the channel they prefer. With others, it's social media. It could be email. But the important thing in terms of channel is that you meet people on the channel they're on. So communication is about really, it's about many things, but it's basically about listening and talking. And you have to be a good listener in order, one, to be likable, but in order to get to know people. And good listening comes from curiosity, and it comes from quieting yourself down enough to really pay attention to what's being said. And I like to put it this way. The great networker is a combination of two things. They are interested in what other people have to say, and they are interesting. When someone says, what about you? Then they're interesting. So interested and interesting, not bored and boring. So be interested and be interesting and continue to be that way. And when you have a conversation with someone, pay attention to that conversation and remember it. So if you meet Sue and say, Sue, what's going on in your life? And she said, well, we're going on a college tour with my son, Bobby. Then the next time you meet her, you may say, Sue, how did your college tour with Bobby go? What you don't want to say is, Sue, do you have any kids? That will indicate to her that you really weren't paying attention. So pay attention and build on the conversations that you have. So another dimension of networking that is really important, and everybody's going to treat it a little bit differently, is whether you take your network wide or deep, or both. And depending upon what you do, if your business is very geographically specific and you only do work in Minneapolis, then it doesn't make much point for you to join a networking group in New York City. But if you can do work everywhere, then you can take your network wider. Now, I live in California and most of my business is in California. But if I did work all over the country, then I would consider joining networking groups in other areas. But if you go wide with your network, also go deep. Don't just join a lot of organizations and not really get to know the people in those organizations. Another component of the networking process that has been very fascinating to me and it's been very revealing is the nature of the conversations you have. Now, when you're in a business networking organization, you're going to talk business. You're going to say, what do you do? How long have you been working there? And the conversations will be business conversations. That is fine, that is well, and that is expected. But if you really want to build relationships, you've got to get personal. You've got to get to know people. You've got to know something about them. And they're going to like it that you genuinely show an interest. You find out they play golf. You find out they're a basketball fan. People, when they find out that I went to UCLA, they'll talk to me about UCLA. And of course, that'll get my attention, that they're interested in that. So I recommend strongly that you don't just stay in business conversations, but you make them personal also. One of the things you can do when you're not meeting personally is social media and many channels of social media. But if you want to pick one, only one, pick LinkedIn. And again, depending upon how much time you have, if you have a lot of time, if you are strictly in business development and all of your time is networking and business development, then at the basis of LinkedIn, you've got to have a great profile. But beyond the profile, if you have the time, you should make meaningful posts that create value for other people. Don't advertise, simply advertise, but provide value for the people that are watching your posts. And another component of networking, which is very interesting to me, is the notion of circadian rhythms, which is simply the peak and valley times that we have in our lives. Whether we are early birds, early risers, love those morning meetings or hate them. A lot of the networking meetings that of the groups I'm in are morning meetings, and some people simply don't like them because they're in the morning and they're more night owls and they would be better at a later meeting. And time itself affects everything. One of the other things that I've noticed, and I encourage you to do when you introduce yourself, the idea that less is more. Now, I'm talking a lot now because I'm the speaker, but normally in a conversation, I wouldn't talk for 15 minutes straight. We probably all know some people that would be capable of that, but I recommend that you are concise in what you do. If you want to get the maximum amount out of networking, you've got to be consistent. You've got to show up consistently, and you've got to get involved. And if you don't do that, you won't be remembered. Years ago, somebody said to me, they said, Bill, you don't need to network anymore. Everybody knows what you do. And I said, no, on the contrary. If I stop networking, people are going to forget about me. They're not going to remember me if I don't continue to show up. So I do continue to show up. And you have to make an impact. I want to share a few more things about Zoom in general, and that is, what do you do to make an impact virtually when you can't meet people in person? Basics are, you've got to have good lighting. You don't want to look like you're in the witness protection program. You want to be well lit. You want to be centered on the camera, and you want to make sure that when you contribute, you're contributing appropriately and not talking too much. And when you get into the breakout rooms, which I find as a group leader and a facilitator is the best feature of Zoom, a couple of things. One, if you're the group leader, make sure people know what they're supposed to be talking about in the breakout room. Choose a facilitator for the breakout room so that that discussion is orderly. And if you are going to report back to the main group, you should have a scribe in your breakout room who will write down the main points so they can report back to the group at large. So those are some of the main principles. By my observation, people multitask way too much. I know when I led meetings in person, people paid attention, and on Zoom, people often are doing too many different things. So I encourage people to stay focused. And that's my 15 minutes. I hope it's been valuable for you. And thank you very much.